Shri Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. A reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 4, Incarnations of Godhead, text number 10.
Tvam sevatam surakrita bhagavan taraya. Svauko vilangya paramam vrajatam padam te. Nanyasya barhishi balim dadata svabhagam. Dhatte padam tvamavita yadi vigna murdhi. Vam sevatam surakrita bhavontaraya. Svauko vilangya paramam vrajatam padam te. Nanyasya barhishi balim dadata svabhagam. Dhatte padam tvamavita yadi vigna murdhi. Tvam sevatam surakrita bhavontaraya. Svauko vilangya paramam vrajatam padam te. Nanyasya barhishi balim dadata svabhagam. Dhatte padam tvamavita yadi vigna murdhi.
Please.
What's the word? Swam,
you,
Sevatam,
for
those who are serving,
Surakitaha,
made by the demigods,
Bahavaha,
many, Antaraya, disturbances, Swaokaha, their own mode, their own abode, the planets of the demigods. Vilangya, crossing beyond. Paramam, the supreme. Vrajatam, who are going. Padam, to the abode. Te, your. Na, they are not such. Anyasya, for another. Barhishi, in ritual sacrifices. Balin, offering. Bharataha, for one who is giving. Subhagan, their own shears of the demigods. Bhakti, the devotee places. Padam, his foot, from you, Avita, the protector, Yadi, because, Vigna, of the disturbance, Murdni, upon the head.
Translation. The demigods place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you to transcend the temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme abode. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares in sacrificial performances encounter no such obstacles. But because you are the direct protector of your devotees, devotee, he is able to step over the head of whatever obstacle the demigods place before him. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The demigods, headed by Kamadev or Cupid, recognizing their offense at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Narayan Rishi, here point out the insignificant position of the demigods in relation to the Supreme Lord. Just as a farmer must pay a specific percentage of his agricultural profit to the king or political head as tax money, all the human beings must offer a percentage of their material wealth to the demigods in sacrifice. In Bhagavad Gita, however, the Lord explains that the demigods are also servants, and it is he himself who awards all benedictions through the agency of the demigods. Maya eva vihitam hi kvam. Although a Vaishnava, devotee of the Lord, has no need to worship the demigods being proud of their exalted material position, sometimes resent the exclusive devotion of the Vaishnava to the Lord, and thus try to cause the devotees to fall down, as described in this verse. Surya Krita Bahavo Antaryam. Yeah. But the demigods here point out that Krishna is directly the protector of his devotees. Therefore, so-called impediments become stimuli for further spiritual advancement for a sincere devotee. the demigods here state, we thought, our dear Lord, that we could disturb your consciousness by our foolish tricks, but by your mercy, even your devotees paid little regard to us, so why should we take our foolish behavior seriously? The word yadi here is used to indicate the certainty that Krishna is always the protector of his surrendered devotees. Although there may be many obstacles on the path of the sincere devotee who is preaching the glories of the Lord, such obstacles increase the determination of the devotee. Therefore, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the continuous obstacles presented by the demigods form a kind of ladder or stairway upon which the devotees steadily progress back to the kingdom of God. A similar statement appears in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.33.
Vashanti marga praibhadva sauhida Vayabhi gupta vicharanti medhara
Which means, O Madhava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from their path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus, they fearlessly traverse the heads of the opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. Bye. Om Akyam Timidanda Sajana Vinasala Parachak Sumali Panina Tasmai Shri Gurave Maha Jaitam Sarito Pangur Bamamanda Matur Kati Matsara Vansa Padambo Jo Vada Madhu Namaha. So, a couple topics stand out from reading the verse in 4.4. One is the protection of Krishna, and the other is the obstacles. So, and it mentions it so nicely that these obstacles form a stairway. Well, there's a colloquialism that says failure is the pillar of success. So, something like that. But because of my way of looking at things, I see that in Krishna consciousness, we're learning about the internal potency and the external potency. Those two are there. We become aware of it. So, area of influence that the demigods can assert has to do with just the external energy. So, because we have a hoitukiya patiyata, the devotional service cannot be interrupted by anything material. Well, at least it's not supposed to be. Ahoitaki, unmotivated and uninterrupted. Just like we know any devotional service that you perform is eternal. There's no loss or diminution. It's in another category of functioning. So we're learning of the external energy. And the external energy is, we've been connected to this external energy for a long time, mostly, through the mind, which is an expansion of the false ego, where we identify, we make a connection with this body. So in the Vedic scriptures, I've noticed that they group things together and then they get reduced in size. So we're grouping together all the material influences, and we put that into the false ego connecting to the material energy. And that's generally in the mind. And then it can be reduced to the calf's a calf's footprint, hoof's print with a little water in it compared to an ocean. So after you reduce something, like they say, the colloquialism again, is you can't see the forest through the trees. So if you're above the forest, you can see the forest and the trees, which is smaller. So the influence of the material energy acts less strongly. So here, because we're discussing, so let's take a look once in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:13. Most of us are familiar with that verse, especially if you get a running start. 9:13 doesn't always work, but if you say Mahatmananas tu mam partha, and most people who are familiar with the verse get it. I call it a running start. You give a couple words and the rest of the verse comes. So most of us know this one, and here it's explaining that again. O son of Gupta, those who are not deluded, of course that's by the material energy, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They fully engage in devotional service because they know me to be the Supreme Person of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So because we're talking about the external energy, the internal energy, here it's talking about that when you recognize the two and you engage in devotional service, you're protected from the influences of the external energy by the internal potency. And here it says, they're under the protection. So right there in the verse, they're under the protection of the divine nature. So here's Krishna speaking, but we have Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani. We're following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, his Gaur, and he's preaching Gauravani. So Lord Chaitanya, he's a special incarnation of Krishna because he's very merciful. In fact, when we understand about Lord Chaitanya by the mercy of Rupa Goswami. So, just like we say with Lord Chaitanya, Namo Mahabhananaya, so also with Rupa Goswami, what could we say about Rupa Goswami? Yeah, he could hold chant one little part. And this is, so, because we're going to shift over to the nectar devotion for a moment. Because we're talking about the divine nature, so in case we want to put a name on that.
Maybe we can sing together. Sri Rupa Manjari Pada Sai Murapam Pada Sai Ma Bhajana Pujana Sai Murapana Dhana Sai Mura Abharana Sai Ma Jivana Rajivana Sai Mura Rasa Nidhi Sai Mura Vamcha Sudhi Sai Ma Dudera Dharana Sai Brata Sai Tapa Sai Mura Mantra Japa Sai Mura Dharma Karana Anukula Devidhi Sei pade hoy de siddhi Nirakhi bho Vibhinayane Sei rupa madhuri rashi Prana kuvalaya shashi Prapulita habani siddhi me Tua adarshana ahi Garalu jaralo dehi Chirodina tapita jirahana Aha upakoro doya Deho more parachaya Narottama Kaila Sharana. Oh, okay. Should we read the whole thing? Translation. The lotus feet of Sri Rupa Manjari are my treasure, my devotional service, and my object of worship. They give my life meaning, and they are the life of my life. They are the perfection of rasa, and they are perfection worthy of attainment. They are the very law of the Vedic scriptures for me. They are the meaning of all my fasts and penances, and my silent uttering of my mantras. They are the basis of religion and activities. By the purifying process of favorable devotional service, one will attain perfection and with these two eyes be able to see. His transcendental form is shining like moonlight in my heart, and my heart therefore shines and reciprocates. In other words, the ordinary moon lights up the night, and its shine illuminates other objects. But the moon of the effulgence of the form of Sri Rupa Manjari shines into the heart and makes the heart also shine back to the spiritual sky. This moon shines not only in the nighttime, but day and night. Your absence from my vision is like a dose of strong poison, and I will suffer till the end of my life. Narottam Das Thakur says, please give me your mercy and the shade of your lotus feet. Narottam Das Thakur ki jai.
So how I was fitting this in was the divine protection. We just read from Bhagavad Gita 9:13. Those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of divine nature. So I was talking about this divine nature and the way that Rupa Goswami describes it in his Nectar Devotion on page 16. It says, to perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Radharani and the devotees in Vrindavan put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to achieve perfection in their devotional service. In other words, devotional service is not an activity of the material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the Mahatmas, or great souls, are under the protection of the Daivi Prakriti, the internal energy, Radharani. So, being directly under the control of the internal potency of Krishna, devotional service attracts even Krishna. So, this protection that the devotee is under, and the sphere that was of influence that the demigods have only is in relationship to the body and the karma of the living entity. When the living entity is in this material world, he's usually controlled by these modes of nature, and then we identify with this body. But just like we heard, I think it was yesterday, the other day, about 10:88, Yashaham Anuganami, that sometimes Krishna may take everything away. And still, that's also an impetus for devotional service. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that verse in an arrival lecture in L.A. Now that verse applied to him, and it happened in his own life, that his business all of a sudden had stopped working, his family members weren't much impressed anymore, so everything looked bad like that. And when so the devotees, they started to laugh, you know, Yashahamra and the Krishna takes everything away, and Prabhupada said, this is not a laughing matter. So sometimes, just like when the spiritual master told him to take sannyasis, oh, how horrible. So anyway, Krishna, this material energy, for a devotee, it's something like in mathematics, they have an idea called absolute values of numbers. There's plus and minus, but in the absolute mathematics, they don't, that the plus or minus isn't considered. So for devotional service, it's on the absolute platform. So whether something materially plus or minus happens, it's only taken as impetus. Like we understand in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts off with, never there's a time, 212, that I didn't, that you didn't exist, I didn't exist, nor all these kings. So right away he starts off with Sat. We know there's going to be three of these items, right? Sat. So so he starts off right away with Sat, that never there was a time you didn't exist. Then he goes and explains also like the process of sacrifice. So if you do sacrifice, 4:33, it says the process of sacrifice culminates in transcendental knowledge. Shit. And then it also, Prabhupada explains in that purport that this knowledge is just a preliminary understanding of devotional service, ananda. So right in the Bhagavad Gita, it's explained like that. And then, what is that sacrifice? Of course, there's the chanting of Hare Krishna. There's Sankirtan, just like we have with Yunga over here as an example of a Sankirtan person. So I was going to call on him. If he's there. Are you there? All right. I'll call on you then. Have you ever experienced how the Lord may protect you when you're on Sankirtan?
Yes.
Oh, there's the microphone. Because there's the external energy and the internal. You can't get, the internal energy is inferior. The external energy is inferior. It really can't ever do anything to the internal potency, which is superior energy. It has to be set up. So when you're protected by the internal potency, the external energy, well, what's it do to you?
Well, you have to remember that. You have to keep telling yourself that. When you go out, I mean, when you go out anywhere in this world, you're being attacked by all kinds of things. But specifically, when you go out and you're attacking the mundane standard that's going on out there by distributing something completely different and radical, then there's all kinds of difficulties that come up. I could give you a million of them, but I'll tell you one that happened in 1973 in the airport. Now, I've been going out to that airport every day, just me, distributing books every day. They hated us so much out there. First thing they did is we have a box of books in the corner, and they'd come and they'd dump Coca-Cola in the box of books. That was the first thing they did. Then they started going out to the van. They found our van, and they pop all the tires. So then I had to have a devotee bring me to the airport and drop me off so we wouldn't leave a van there. And we started putting the books into the lockers. Well, then they decided to stuff bubble gum and things into the lockers so we couldn't open the locker. Anyway, so it got to the point where there was a devotee who distributed books, and then there would be a devotee that would bring the books. He would be there not distributing, but he would have books for me, so I wouldn't have to have Coca-Cola poured on them or have them in the locker. You couldn't get them. It was, anyway, so this went on for about a year. And then One day, I'm getting up to go to the airport, and my tooth broke. So instead of going to the airport, I went to the dentist. Now, on that day, for some unknown reason, Pierre Charon, who is my godbrother, who has been talking about going out to that airport and distributing every day for a year, he would talk about this. I'm going out, I'm getting ready. He was reading marketing books and all kinds of weird things. And I was like, why don't you just come out? And I'm getting ready. So that day, no one knows why, I went to the dentist, Pierre Charon, who looks just like me, skinny guy with glasses. He goes to the airport. Now that day, now they had been warning me at the airport, they were going to get me, you know. And I was like, yeah, you can't get me. I'm a devotee. Learn the Sringadeva, protect me, right? That's the move. So Pierre Charon walks into the airport, and they had hired a hitman. So when Pierre Charon walks up to the, hands this big guy a book, the guy just punched him. One punch knocked him down. He was unconscious on the floor. Then the guy grabbed his ears and bounced his head up and down on the floor. And then he kicked him in the face, which broke his jaw. He was in a coma. They took him to the hospital. So I go back to the temple after my little appointment at the dentist, and I was getting ready to go, and the hospital called the temple and said, hey, you know this guy? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, come on. And so I went to the hospital before I went to the airport that day. And there was Pierre Charon laying there in a coma with his jaw wired. And I was like, whoa, what? So I couldn't even talk to him at that point because he was unconscious. So I went to the airport. Now, this was amazing because when I walked into the airport, those people thought that they'd beaten me up and taken me out that morning because they didn't know. It's just a skinny Hare Krishna with glasses. And I'd been out there every single day. So I walked into the airport and distributing. Those people freaked because they looked at me like, and the only reason I knew the details of the story is because there was a person that worked at the airport who liked us, and he saw the whole thing. And I mean, that's a perfect example of Krishna protecting a Sangirtan devotee. That was supposed to be me. But the other guy didn't go on in Sangirtan. But I will say this. After that, it took him several months. It took him several months to recover. But after he recovered, I mean, he was in a dark room in the ashram for 3 months. But after he recovered, he came out and he went on in Sangirtan every day with me and others that were doing Sajiva joined at that time. So it was me and Jeev and Pierre Charon. Anyway, if that isn't a good example of protection, I don't know what. I didn't have to think about it. You know, I was just at the dentist. It wasn't my idea.
Of course. Tamahar always has a good one, but we're familiar with that one. It worked the other day on the other guy, right? So I was just not going to get quite that dramatical. I was going to read something from Madhavendra Puri, that's in the purport for 244, because it does say when you chant Hare Krishna, you declare war on the external energy. So sometimes when there's war, there's a lot of serious things going on. So maybe I'll read the verse, and then I'll read this one part of the purport that will show something similar to that. This is 244. It says, O great sages, the great soul Maharaj Parikit, constantly wrapped in thoughts of Lord Krishna, knowing well the imminent death, knowing of his imminent death, renounce all sorts of fruitive activities. So we know fruitive activities is another term for karma. That's how Krishna translates the word karma as fruitive activities, namely acts of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and thus fix himself firmly in his natural love of Krishna, and ask these questions exactly as you're asking me. So in the purport, if we scroll down quite a bit, it's a fairly long purport. There's two verses by Madhavendra Puri. I'm going to go to the second one. The second one is pointing out how it says, let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. So there's one group of people that are going to be a little hostile towards you. They're going to say, oh, you're just an illusion, which is not a nice thing. He says, I don't mind. Experts in Vedic activities, they're going to slander me of being misled. So I guess before the internet, there was some way of doing that also, because this has been going on for a long time. But well, they say no good deed goes unpunished. So in devotional service, experts in Vedic activities using grammatical and misquotes and quoting different things that Prabhupada said, that they'll figure out something to say. They'll slander me saying I'm misled. You should hear this, what I have to say. Friends and relatives. Okay, so how about your own friends? They're going to accept that you're a devotee and everything's nice. Just, what are they going to say? Oh, they'll say, oh, he's just frustrated. My brothers are going to call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad, and the learned philosophers will say that I'm too proud. I'm much too proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, although I am unable to do it. So if we look at the group here, there's what, six? We got moralists, we got experts, we got friends, we got relatives, brothers, wealthy people, learned philosophers. So I've been called, how many names do they call me here? They call you misled, frustrated, fool, mad, too proud. So we can see that what's the very next instruction Krishna says after, never there was a time you didn't exist. And he gives an example. You've been changing bodies. You remember you had a little body, another body, another body. He says, so this point, this Deinos Minyata Dehe, Prabhupada said, this is the beginning of spiritual life. So this is the foundation. This is where everything hinges on remembering this point that Sat, that you're eternal and you're changing bodies. So you're in different bodies, and these bodies are your karma result of your last life. And through this body, there's going to be happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, hot and cold, so many different difficulties. And Prabhupada would say that's fixed up. Even before your birth, it's fixed up how much money you're going to get, how much happiness you're going to get, how much distress. He says, don't put your attention into that. Put your attention into what you can do in this life. And in this life, you can perform devotional service. Even a little bit of devotional service can save one from the greatest fear. And even though it's temporary, like other activities, it's meaningful. That's two or three verses mixed together. Palad Maharaj. Krishna explains that you have to learn how to tolerate it. And in that learning process of tolerating, you're separating yourself from the influence of the material energy. Because the next verse says that when you become indifferent to those things, then you're liberated. So for myself, I've been noticing, I was just chanting Hare Krishna, that's what you do here a lot at the temple, that this is my connection. We're either connecting to the material energy through our body and our senses. You ever get something that comes into your mind like, hey, why don't you go do this? I think we all have that experience. So where's our shelter? So, oh, our shelter is to connect once again to the internal potency, Hari Nam. So we know if you chant Hare Krishna, you're building your connection, your relationship with Krishna through the holy name. So it's your connecting. That's how we connect. It's the sacrifice. It gives the knowledge, the life of all transcendental knowledge. It's our refuge. In other words, when the thoughts come into the mind, you have a new type of intelligence called a bhakti intelligence, and it'll examine it to see, should you accept this or should you reject this? Just like there's 2936, you should connect to Krishna, and you should also know directly and indirectly. So the indirectly, for instance, directly is you talk about Krishna, mat, chitta, mat, kata, pranam. So that's the life of a devotee. He talks about Krishna. But if you don't do that, what's the opposite thing that you're supposed to give up? Brahmya kata, hajalpa, So it mentions it in the Nectar of Instruction, things to do, verse 1, 6, the things not to do. So how to connect, you chant Hare Krishna, you discuss Krishna, because in 116 purport, Prabhupada points out, to explain is more important than to read. More important in reading to yourself is explaining. So that's back to the much, that's in purport 116. That, so Prabhupada calls this explaining kirtan. So it says shravanam kirtan. So if you look at that one we just quoted, 10.9, machitakamat pranam, bodhiyantam parasparam. Who's the parasparam? That's us. Amongst ourselves, we're discussing Krishna consciousness. And then the next verse is, I'll give the intelligence by which you get from Krishna comes through the association of devotees. That's how we make advancement. And then the next verse is, that's my special mercy. So this mercy, this is the ISKCON. This is the IS, the society of devotees, is for just talking about Krishna. Prabhupada would talk sometimes about, you can do business on your own, but he says if you're in the stock market, you go to the exchange, he says, and there you get a lot of support and interaction. So we come amongst the devotees and we talk about Krishna. So, and we chant together, Aram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So parasparam, how can you have a parasparam by yourself amongst others? Para is others, isn't it? So amongst others. So you can't do that by yourself. So Prabhupada built a society so we could explain to each other, share. And then, of course, Prabhupada points out that this is one of the six types of loving exchanges that gives nourishment to our society. So if you look at something that's nourished or something that's undernourished, you can always tell the difference. One is healthy and growing, the other one is kind of thin and dry. So we're meant to always make friends with each other. Prabhupada was hoping we all come to the second class platform, love Krishna, make friends with the devotees, preach to the innocent, and avoid those that are inimical. So that's one of the points. So when this protection and the chanting is how we connect to Krishna, and if you think about, you build it up, that this is, when your mind wanders, which it does, and for us, we have to know how to bring it back under the control of the self, which is this chanting. We chant when the thought comes into the mind that has to be rejected. How are you going to connect right back up again? There's a couple different ways. You chant, you talk to a devotee, or you can, one of the ones I like is there's a verse for that. For everything that you're thinking about, there's always a verse for it. Krishna doesn't leave anything out. You'll be able to find that verse, and you can build up a whole wall up against the material nature. Just like, like I think it's 1:2:18 where it says, by serving the great souls, a great service is done, one gets in a fit. No, not that one. Nitya Bhagavata Seva, almost to nil. The one that says almost to nil by serving. Everything inauspicious is practically destroyed, almost. So what's that last bit for? That last little bit is so you can practice. If you look in Bhagavad Gita, 13:8-12. First, this is tolerance. It says as long, actually 270, that they're all connecting about the same point. 270 is the incessant flow of desires that are entering like rivers into the ocean. So that's a lot of stuff happening internally. Your mind is having incessant flow. So it says that as long as one's embodied, these desires will continue. So what do you do about that? So in how one has to learn to tolerate, just like it says, humility prizes 13:8-12. Humility prizes nonviolence, tolerance. Like that, it says that you, in this material world, you have to practice. We're in the practice stage. The practice stage means that you don't do it perfectly. You have to engage in a way that you'll employ these new instructions. We're getting the instructions from the Bhagavad Gita, so you have to use them until it becomes a reflex. Just like you can play music, you have to practice until it becomes automatic, or martial arts, you practice these different moves until they're automatic. So you have to practice taking the inconveniences and the difficulties in stride. And where that brings me to, oh, this is such a nice thing, we're starting to run out of time now, is I did this 36 years ago when I was living in Hawaii. I was before the beta base, so I compiled up, it's only 5 pages, on tapasya. So what is this tapasya? So we just read one the other day. Was it 2924? You remember that one? Where it says that Krishna is more clever than anyone else. He wants to see how painstakingly you are engaged in devotional service. So it's not cheap. You remember that running start? Devotees, see, we knock the rust off of each other. You know, every devotees, they know so many things. They just need an opportunity to share them with each other. So in this one, this compilation, it's so nice because an easygoing life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization cannot go together. The Lord is more clever than any living entity. Therefore, he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in his devotional service. The order is received from the Lord, either directly or through his bona fide spiritual master, and to execute that order, however painstaking, is a severe type of penance. And to follow this principle rigidly is sure. One who follows this principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in obtaining the Lord's mercy. So it's just something, it's not a popular topic, the posture, right? But you know the example that Prabhupada uses for this is deity worship. He said, who would think that that's the pasha? He says, but there's so much, you have to get up early. Most of us have experienced that to come to Mangal Arati, because it's not in your regular schedule, you know, to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and take a bath. And the dressed deities are already dressed nicely. And they're being fed, and they're all this wonderful service. Prabhupada says, undoubtedly, this is painstaking. Who would think of that, you know? Because devotees, they get such mercy, just like we know that Maya gives a special energy to mothers to take care of children. I'm not a mother, but I've witnessed it. You know that these kids, when they're very young, they don't have good sleeping habits, most of them. And their cleanliness is not developed yet. And they also need a lot of things at all times, hours. And the mothers, somehow or other, they can do it, right? Sometimes the wife will elbow the husband and say, this is your turn, you go up and give them this bottle at 2 o'clock in the morning. But generally, they don't have the same nature that the mothers, they have that ability. Krishna does that. So, even though it's called tapasya, one time devotee asked Prabhupada about that. He said, Prabhupada, what about all the austerities we have to perform? Do you remember what he said? Who remembers what he said? Which guy, do you remember? All right. Prabhupada was asked, what about all the austerities one has to perform in doing devotional service? Prabhupada. A devotee asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, What austerities? Everything is simply recreation. Because that was what his answer was. So, of course, Divyang was gone, but he has a little saying he says a lot. It's from Prabhu Ananda Saraswati. You know that verse? Narakam. Well, he says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. He says that the whole universe, Vishvam, the whole universe becomes happiness. And what happened to the senses? The senses are compared to snakes. So with poisonous fangs. So what happened when you take protection of Krishna? You know what happens to those fangs? Poisonous fangs? Huh? Lightning. What happens to them? They're extracted. So they get a free dentist. They pull out their, they extract the teeth. Other times, they break them off. They just break off the fangs. So even, so that takes you into 930 and 931. That, 931. I can read it for Shruti Dharana, but I can find it. Probably everybody knows 930. If I maybe with a little running start, everybody will know it. Api Che Tu. That's everybody knows it. Just need a couple words and then off they go. So, but the next verse is, he quickly becomes righteous and obtains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. So this has to do with the same thing, the external energy. It may trip you up a couple times, but we also have the 11:20, 27, and 28, where it says that, or in this verse here, it's almost like 1:5:17, 1:5:19. Those two verses that says somehow or other the devotee may fall down, but he never becomes a karma, just like it mentioned in this verse today, that they don't, because once you've been infected with the internal potency, that's not from around here. It's something like a virus, but it's imported from the spiritual world, and we've all been touched by it. And it's inside and it's growing. And there's no vaccination for it in the whole material. Nothing can stop it in the material energy. You can postpone it a little bit, but it's permanent. And we've all been touched by that. So it keeps growing and growing. And the material energy may trip you up sometime, but it's only a matter of time. It actually dissolves. Because that virus, when it grows, the Bhakti Lata Beach, it grows, it dissolves the whole subtle body. And then it transforms you from a human being into a divine being. And we've all been touched by it. And in fact, if you look at devotees, most people agree they're definitely touched. The colloquialism. Anyway, thank you all for your kind attention. And, I didn't read my 5 pages on the question.
Hare Krishna. Would you mind if I played the devil's advocate?
Does it come natural?
Okay. So basically what's being said here, the material energy cannot impede the development of the devotee.
Okay. Oh, that reminded me, just one little quick point. I forgot where. In the verse, it also mentioned that they don't put obstacles on the Karmakanda devotees, or not the Karmakanda section. That was part of the verse where it says, in case you're wondering why it says, it was a little tricky when you read it, but it mentions that I place no impediments for those who offer their share to the demigods. So for they're still being controlled by the external energy. So that's another thing. they don't have any problems. So the problems are just for devotees, but they're not problems. They're the opportunities that make your staircase by practicing what you've been taught. Like Krishna says, I'll give you this much. Now let me see what you do with it. Withdraw your mind from the sense objects. All right, let's see if you can keep some intelligence going. All right. Yes.
So then...
Oh, yeah, Mr. Devil.
Okay, Mr. Devil. Here I am. So in Bhaktivinoda Thakura and Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, it says the four things have to be in place prior to the stage of bhava for one to make spiritual advancement. Now, these all seem to be in that category of material impediments.
You're educated.
What's that?
You're a very educated demon
advocate.
No, I just
picked up a little thing here.
Okay.
All right, so...
Most devils are not educated.
So, one is good health. Two is being in a socially acceptable situation within his community. Three is to be in a financially stable position. It could probably stood to practice properly. And four is to be intellectually nourished by regularly imbibing Shastra. So that seems to be a little, you can see how the devil inspired me to advocate.
Okay, well, that's nice. Like everything else, everything that you ask is certainly your question is glorious because it gives opportunity to give an answer to. So, like everything else, there's stages. And one stage, if something is accepted, in the next stage, it can come to be rejected. But if, like for instance, in mathematics, in the second grade, they teach you that you can't subtract a bigger number from a smaller number. That you have to learn that. In the second grade, you can't have a fourth grader say, oh, sure you can. It'll just confuse them. So there are stages, and one stage gets, when you learn that, then, of course, there's different meanings to each of the words. They take on different meanings. Like it says, you have to be healthy. Okay. Didn't you say being healthy? Okay. So if you say, okay, I have to be healthy. So one stage of my life, the word Atma is translated as body. Isn't it? One of the definitions of Atma is body. Another definition is mind. Another definition is soul. So someone could say, who do you think you are? So there's an assumed context. That's what I call it. When somebody says, how are you? They're assuming you're going to respond back that you're the body. Most of the time when people ask you that. But suppose you say, well, how am I? I'm Satchidananda. But I got a touch of the material energy. And you know how that makes you feel. Feels like you could die. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you can make a connection. You can still say, you know, how are you? Which you are you referring to? Are you seeing me as my karmic reaction from my last life and identifying with this body? Or are you seeing there's actually material nature covering this my soul and super souls here too and eternal time? Or do you have the full vision? So you have to consider on every one of these things. Who are you identifying with when you read that? I'm identifying that I'm a material body. So if you identify with being a material body, it may be difficult to understand what transcendence is. Right? So the first thing Krishna says, never. That eliminates a lot of stuff that's temporary because it says you're eternal. Let's see if we can get that point straight first. He says, all right, you got that you're eternal? And Krishna said, you don't have to take my word for it. You look for yourself. Didn't you have a little body? Where is it now? How's that body feeling? Well, I don't know. Well, how about this body? Well, actually, Prabhupada points out He says, it's not that the body's growing. He says, it's changing. And it gives the example of, maybe you remember, it used to be a painting of a montage. The old photographs, when you go to the movies, there's a big roll of plastic with one picture and then a little teeny movement in the next picture. And then a little teeny movement at 30 frames per second nowadays. And it's quicker than your perception. So you think the movie is actually a motion picture, but it's actually one picture and another picture and another picture. They're not really moving. It's different pictures each time. So you're not actually this body. It's a new body each nanosecond. Who knows what that timing is from one body to the next body. So which body is it that has to be healthy? The one I had yesterday? The one I got today? The one that's half a second ago? The one that's coming up? So everything, since you were taking the devil's advocate, I thought I'd give you something to chew on there. But I mean, there's different stages. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Tom, it mentions, I think it's 1-8 or something, once you have a healthy life of self-preservation, because with that he can inquire about Krishna, Tattva Brahma Jitna. So we also know Krishna told somebody else about, oh, you've come so far and your body must be very tired. Why don't you rest for a while? He said, oh, I'm on a very important mission. I'm looking for Lord Shiva. I want to touch his head. I said, oh, Lord Shiva gave you a benediction. Well, you know, you can't always trust Lord Shiva. He's a little touched, you know, he hangs out. He says, I wouldn't believe him. I'd want to prove him wrong. Why don't you touch your own head and check to see if it's working? And then we'll punish him for giving you that phony benediction. So being healthy, sometimes you're healthy and sometimes you're not. But ahoitukiya patiyata, I haven't seen that in the purport of that. So even though it's right at one spot, it's a consideration that when Prabhupada was in externally failing health, he seemed to maintain perfect consciousness, and we've seen so many devotees. It's a natural thing because we see that this body, manasa deha geha, it doesn't actually belong to us. So it's government property. And I remember when I was in the military, they told me if I got a sunburn, they would fine me. It was called an Article 15. And they would fine you. And I said, why is that? And he said, because that body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to us. It's a government issue. And you're mistreating government property. So we also have Sanatana Goswami. He was going to commit suicide. And Lord Chaitanya says, don't you know destroying another person's property is wrong? So you take care of this body. Who remembers the cars in the 70s at the temple? No oil, windshield wipers didn't work, brakes, the ignition key was lost. Anyway, we were taught to take care of Krishna's property. Just like our books, we have so many nice books. We put them behind glass and lock them up to keep them looking tiny. The other books, I was looking for a 2-2. I was looking for none of them. Well, anyway, the idea is that when it belongs to Krishna, you should take nicer care. So you're taking care of your body because it's being used in Krishna's service. That takes the element away of sense connecting. You have to see it both directly and indirectly. How to connect it, how to disconnect it, how to chant, how to build your chanting. Take all the shelter in the chanting. Learn how to take shelter. When the mind disturbs, take shelter. That's your knowledge. In fact, I started just thinking about it for a minute for the hardcore ones that stayed here. I said, it's my memory. Chanting Hare Krishna is my memory. You remember you're serving Krishna. It's my sacrifice. It's my connection. It's my duty. It's my life and soul. It's my shelter, my refuge, my comfort. Connection with Krishna, it's my hope, it's my faith, it's my knowledge. Think of all the things that we've now connecting with the holy name, how we're using, this is how we connect to the internal potency. This is how we remember the connection with the internal potency. This is what we do when the mind gets disturbed. This is my hope, this is my life. So in that way, you build up, not just something that you do without any thought about it. Even though while you're chanting, you should be thinking about it. Thank you very much, our glory to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.